Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
All right, Fried fam, how are you doing? What's going on? I got an article sent to me. My friend Diane Doresta, a fellow speaker, sent me an article from Inc. magazine that said that we are still talking about burnout in a big way. So here's the title. It says, online mentions of burnout jumped 65% earlier this year, and Gen Z has a new rule for coping with it. Instead of embracing hustle culture, young workers are taking a different approach to their careers. This is by Lucia Auerbach. So for the past few weeks, if you follow me on LinkedIn or Instagram or you're on my newsletter, I have been asking for feedback about my book title and subtitle for the book coming out in October. And I could not get it right, folks. I was trying titles, I was trying to force things to work, and your responses were mediocre at best because the titles were mediocre at best. So there was no excitement around what I was putting out. Not a lot, a lot of people were commenting or putting themselves into the equation, giving their opinion. I was giving, you know, A, B, and C options, and I was getting private messages saying I don't like any of those options. And when that happens, you have to be willing to, as Steven Spielberg says, you know, kill your darlings. You have to be willing to like throw stuff out, because if it's not, if this book is not enticing to people before it's even out, that is a bad sign. So I had to really work on getting to a new title, which I think we've done, but I'm not going to reveal it just yet. If you follow me on socials, you would have seen it. If not, you should follow me on socials. And as I was going through this process, I was asking myself whether or not I need to keep the word burnout in the title somewhere, mostly because it's my main expertise and what I'm known for. I mean, this is Fried, the Burnout Podcast, after all, and I have been looking into burnout and chronic stress for so damn long. And I was a little bit hesitant. I was wondering if I'm pigeonholing myself, if I'm making it difficult for people to hire me because people are sick of talking about burnout. And then I got this article, and I'm going to scroll down a little bit to this. It says, Future Snopes reported that from December 2024 to November 2025, burnout reached a high of 24.8 million monthly average searches, and burnout recovery saw a 1,000% year-over-year growth. 25 million monthly average searches for burnout and 1,000% year-over-year growth for the words burnout recovery, which means, you guys, Fried should be on every top chart in the world right now. Fried is the largest burnout recovery resource in the world. So we should be like, I should have 100,000 downloads a month. So if you know somebody that needs to listen to this podcast, please send it to them. If you know somebody that searches things like burnout recovery, then please send this to them. It will help them. So I looked at this and I thought, okay, I had asked the universe at large. I said, listen, I'm really struggling with this title. I need some help. And then within 3 days, this article was in my inbox. When I read through this full article, the sentiment is basically that Gen Z is ready to decenter work as the main part of their lives. And what they're saying is that they don't really have the option of making enough money to like buy a house and live comfortably. So why should they work as hard as they possibly can and really be pressured to overwork and overgive and do all this extra stuff when they're not going to be able to get what people used to be able to get out of it? They're not going to get the quote unquote American dream. They're not going to be able to keep up with the Joneses. They are not building a house and having 2.2 kids with a white picket fence and a dog named Fido. Like, that's not happening. So why are they bothering? Like, what is the actual point? And I kind of get that. I mean, we went through that. I'm a millennial. I finished my graduate degree in 2007, which means I was just graduating when the recession was starting. And I kind of got to avoid the recession because I was living in Poland at the time, and Poland didn't experience the recession. But I remember all of my friends saying very similar things. And this is now just about, what, 18 years ago from where we are today. So we're one full generation later, and we're saying the same things all over again, right? The same things we said 20 years ago, we're saying right now. Like, this, it's happening just one generation apart, and we're already repeating ourselves. But the Gen Z workers, apparently it's popular to say, it's PR, not the ER. Basically, like, this job, nobody's going to die if I don't do this job. Like, the importance is lost on me. And I think that there's a certain amount of freedom in that. I used to say things like that even as an acupuncturist when people would call me and tell me that they needed an appointment immediately. And I was thinking, like, if you need an appointment immediately, you should really be calling 911. If you need an appointment that bad, something's really wrong and you should not be calling your acupuncturist. You should be going to the emergency room. And that helped me create a little bit of distance between how much responsibility I felt towards my patients and my need to say yes every time somebody asked me for anything that was above and beyond my capacity. So I understand what they're going with here. But I think the bigger message underneath it, which I think is a little bit scary, is that we don't think our work is impactful anymore. We don't think work matters anymore. They're saying there's still value of on effort and ambition, but not for the sake of just doing the work, which means, Simon Sinek, we kind of need you back. Like, people need to be reconnected to why. And if we are building companies that people can't feel connected to, then we need to start asking why. Why are we building companies that people can't be connected to? Why are we creating things that people don't feel like are useful or beneficial to the world just for money? I think that's the thing that's going to start falling aside. It's PR, not the ER. I am not killing myself to show up to your job, and no one is going to die if I don't do my work today. Decentering work is a hard thing for me to imagine, honestly, because work is such a massive part of my life. And I like working. I like doing what I do. I like advising your C-suite teams. And I like coming in and doing keynotes and workshops. And I like doing the match move assessments with your people and going over the results and figuring out solutions. I like it. I'm into it. But I do understand that people are feeling a little jaded at the moment. Everybody's getting fired. AI is going to do everything anyway. Nothing really matters. What's the point? So I think that we have to do a few things if we're looking toward the future of work. As leaders, we need to understand that this is the attitude that's coming into the office, not with every single Gen Z person, but there is this overarching attitude coming into the office. And there's just going to be more and more of them and less of us as time goes on. So we need to find ways to adjust toward their needs, capacities, values, and desires. They don't really have to adjust to us all that much. So I think that's really important. I also saw this that I thought was important in this article. It says, the concept of career breaks has also become more mainstream. Futuresnopes noted that some major companies are creating returnships, initiatives for employees to be reintegrated into the workplace after taking extended leaves of absence. Listen, folks, I am all about a sabbatical if you can afford one. It really is life-changing and incredibly useful. If you haven't read the book Soulbatical by my friend Shelley Paxton, you should check that out. This says, for example, the aircraft company Boeing has launched a 12-week return flight program that provides mentorship and retraining for those returning to work. One of the reasons I love this part is because this creates an opportunity for us to equalize parenting a little bit, right? Instead of just saying coming back from maternity leave, we're saying people are taking months off at a time just because they need them, and everybody needs a way to be reintegrated back into work. This is something that the United States has struggled with, I think, much more than Europe. Europe has much longer maternity and actually family leaves available. And so coming back to work after a year or 2 years is not seen as weird or massively disruptive, or like everyone's expecting it. Everyone knows it's happening. It's planned for, it's worked into the system. There is no reason why we can't do that for situations that don't necessarily involve birth. And so I think that that's a really cool thing that could be coming in the future of work, that we're allowing people to sort of maybe not come and go as they please, but every so often take a certain amount of time for themselves so that they can come back to their work reinvigorated. I think over time, it would be a lot less costly to allow someone to take off extended periods now and again than it is to recruit new, fresh all the time. So I think that that's actually pretty cool. And then the last thing, it's not just Gen Z. Millennials are sort of jumping on this bandwagon too. Work-life balance plus millennial as a search also saw a 1,000% year-over-year growth. Folks, your workers are tired, disengaged, and disconnected from what they're doing and why it actually matters. The future of work is going to require us to bring meaning back into the workplace, to show people that they matter, and to be creating workplaces that are impacting the world and the globe at large in a positive way. I'm kind of excited about it. So burnout is going to stay in the title for now of my new book that comes in October, because Inc. magazine came through and told me that it's not quite time to let it go. It's not quite time to move away. So if this episode was interesting or useful to you and you think someone else would use it too, please send it to them. Anyone that you thought of during this episode, sending them this episode could be just the thing that they need to hear right now to feel better, to make a choice to move forward, to move backward intentionally. And if you would love to, I would be honored to have a review from you on Apple Podcasts, especially because those rankings really help us reach more and more people. And if there's 1,000% year-over-year growth in the search for burnout recovery, FRIED is the largest burnout recovery resource in the world. People should be finding it easier. They find it easier when you review it, when you share it, when you talk about it with your friends. So please help me by doing that. Help me help you help them by doing that. And I will see you next time.